Chapter 28. Raymond left the hotel in Newark, where he had been told to rest, at 4 p.m. Wednesday. He carried a nondescript black satchel. He took the tubes under the river, then the subway to Times Square. For a while he wandered aimlessly along West 42nd Street. After a while, he found himself at 44th and Broadway. He went into a large drugstore. He got change for a quarter at the cigarette counter and shuffled to one of the empty telephone booths in the rear. He dialed Marco's office number. The agent on duty answered. He was alone in the large house in Turtle Bay. "Colonel Marco, please." "Who is calling, please?" "Raymond Shaw. It's a personal call." The agent inhaled very slowly. Then he exhaled slowly. "Hello? Hello?" Raymond said, thinking the connection had been broken. "Right here, Mr. Shaw," the agent said briskly. "It looks as though Colonel Marco has stepped away from his desk for a moment, but he'll be back practically instantly, Mr. Shaw, and he left word that if you called, he wanted to be sure that he could call you right back, wherever you were. If you'll give me your telephone number, Mr. Shaw..." "Well, he'll be right back." "Maybe I'd better call him back. I'm in a drugstore here, and..." "I have my orders, Mr. Shaw. If you'll give me that number, please." "The number in the booth here is Circle 89637. I'll hang around for 10 minutes or so, I guess, and have a cup of coffee." He hung up the phone and the newspaper fell from his pocket and flattened out on the floor, showing the headline, "Murders of Senator and Daughter, Enigma." Raymond picked the paper up slowly and returned it to his jacket pocket. He climbed on a stool at the soda fountain and waited for someone to come and take his order. The agent on duty dialed a number rapidly. He got a busy signal. He waited painfully with his eyes closed. Then he opened them and dialed again. He got a busy signal. He pulled his sleeve back from his wristwatch, stared at it for 30 seconds, then dialed again. The connection bubbled a through signal. "Garden. This is Turtle Bay. Get me Marco. Red signal. Hold, please." The booming voice of the platform speaker inside the arena was cut off from every amplifier throughout the garden. The packed hall seemed, for an instant, like a silent waxworks packed with 3,000 effigies. An urgent new voice came pounding out the horns. It contrasted so much with the ribbon of pure silence that had preceded it, after 2 days of amplified fustian, that every delegate felt threatened by its urgency. "Colonel Marco! Colonel Marco! Red signal! Red signal! Colonel Marco! Red signal!" The voice cut itself off, and another electronic flow of silence came through the system. Newspapermen immediately began to pressure the wrong officials about the significance of the interruption and the term "red signal." And beginning with the first edition of the morning papers, the term was printed again and again until it finally found itself on television variety shows as comedians' warning cries. Marco sat backstage with an unleashed phone in his hand, within a semicircle of agents and police. Amjack was between earphones at one telephone monitor, and Laner was at the other. The recording machines were turning. 5 minutes, 8 seconds had elapsed since Raymond had made his call. Marco dialed. He was sweating peanut butter. The telephone rang in an empty booth. It rang again. Then again. A figure slumped into the seat to answer it. It was Raymond. "Ben." No other opening.
"Yes, kid."
"You read what happened?"
"Yes, I know. I know."
"How could anyone? How could it happen? Josie, how could anyone?"
"Where are you, Raymond?"
The men ringed around Marco seemed to lean forward. "I think maybe I'm going crazy. I have the terrible dreams like you used to have, and terrible things are all twisted together. But the craziest part is how anyone could... Ben, they killed Josie. Somebody killed Josie." The words came out hoarsely and on a climbing scale.
"Where are you, kid? We have to talk. We can't talk on the telephone. Where are you?"
"I have to talk to you. I have to talk to you."
"I'll meet you. Where are you?"
"I can't stay here. I have to get out. I have to get air."
"I'll meet you at the paper."
"No, no."
"In the park, then."
"The park?"
"The zoo, Raymond. On the porch of the cafeteria. Okay?"
"Okay."
"Right away."
"They're inside my head, like you said."
"Get a cab and get up to the park.
Yes. Raymond hung up. Marco banged the phone down and wheeled in his swivel chair. Amjack and Laner nodded at the same time.
The boy's in bad shape, Laner said.
I'll take him now, Marco said. This has to move very normally. Raymond has to be allowed to feel safe. Then he has to play solitaire, so this is all mine. Give me some cards.
Laner took a pack of force cards out of a carton on the long work table supported by sawhorses and tossed them across the room to Marco.
Laner stuffed another pack into his pocket as a souvenir. A detail coming off duty straggled into the room.
What do you know? The first man said. They just handed the vice presidency to that idiot Iceland.
Marco grunted. He turned and nearly ran toward the 49th Street exit.